Welcome to Get Over It, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. We've got a very interesting show tonight. We have Christopher Vasey with us, and he's a naturopath, and he's going to be talking about natural antibiotics and antivirals and other things. So this is a very important show on health, folks, and as you know, healthcare here in the United States and around the world is being challenged. So it's really going to be important for you to have knowledge so that you can take care of yourself. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through the blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back. But you know, I always ask the question, and that is, are you truly ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners. Intuitive since birth, I'm a third generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I'm the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, the Men and Money book, and Masterful Choices, the Key to Easy, Effective Change. I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the fullest. My clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. Find out more about me and the services I offer. Go to my website, that's MoniqueChapman.com. I invite you to like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. You can also sign up for my opt-in newsletter, Intuitive Living. And again, that's on my website, MoniqueChapman.com. Excuse me. Nature offers us many natural antibiotics from the plant kingdom that work powerfully against germs while being gentle on the body. The question thus arises, why are these natural antibiotics no longer known as well as they once were, and why don't we rely on them as we once did? My guest today, Christopher Vasey, MD, is a naturopath specializing in detoxification and rejuvenation. He is the author of many books, including The Acid Alkaline Diet for Optimal Health, Natural Remedies for Inflammation, Liver Detox, and Freedom from Constipation. And he lives near Montreux, Switzerland, where he is calling in today. I am so excited. Welcome, Christopher.
Yeah, hello, Monique. Yeah. Montreux is in Switzerland, so I'm phoning from far away.
Oh, very far away, because I'm in California, you're in Switzerland. Isn't technology wonderful?
Yes, really.
Yeah, we can really, embrace all of that energy. Christopher, you've written over 14 books on natural health. When did you get into natural health and why?
Well, I started to be interested in natural medicine because at that time in the 80s, end of 70s, 80s, it was the time where eating in a vegetarian way was very, everybody talked about it, and I got interested in it. And I didn't know much about health, but I saw people around me falling, getting ill because of the way they were eating. I could see that very clearly. And at that time, there was a lecture in town from a naturopath about natural medicine, and I went to listen to it, and I was so enthusiastic with what he said that I straight away asked him, where did you learn all that? He told me, and I started following the school, the naturopathic school. So that's the way I got started into naturopathy. And that was about 37 years ago. And at the beginning, after my studies, when I started to give consultation, I also gave courses to people who were interested in eating in a more healthy way or detoxifying their body. Mm-hmm. And these people who followed the courses said, but it would be very good if you could write a summary of all you are saying. So I wrote a summary which become a small book, and that's how I started, in fact, to write. A publisher was interested in one of these, this book, and then he wanted another, and so forth. And that's, in fact, in the end, I'm consults. People come to me, but most of my time I spend writing books on the subject.
Okay, well, wow. You know, folks, we're going to talk today, his book, Natural Antibiotics and Antivirals, 18 Infection-Fighting Herbs and Essential Oils. And you can check his website out, and that's ChristopherVasey.com. Let me spell that for you. No, it's not. It's ChristopherVasey.ch. Let me spell that for you. ChristopherVasey.ch. And if you go to their his website, folks, you're going to find some free downloads, and two caught my attention. And the one that I really enjoyed that was absolutely free, all you have to do is download it, and that is Health and the Laws of Nature. And then the other free download is The Secret of Birth. I love how Christopher takes the natural medicine, but it's a holistic approach, truly holistic, because he includes spirituality. He includes what's going on in the mundane world so that we can truly help ourselves. So, Christopher, with this focus on antibiotics, I mean, what you talk about in your book, these herbs and tinctures and essential oils have been around forever. Could you give us a brief overview of the history of what you're talking about in your book as far as antibiotics and antivirals and how we can today still utilize them to help ourselves as opposed to putting all the poisonous pharmaceuticals in our body?
Yeah. Well, for the last 7,000 years, man has been using, or even probably more, man has been using herbs and plants to cure himself, and some of those plants he used against infections, against microbes, and they are antibiotic plants, but at that time they didn't have the word antibiotic nor germs or infection. They just knew that they were ill, and they used different herbs, and these we have testimony that they use them. One of them is in Egypt, in antiquity. They were very well aware of the action of antibiotic plants, which fight against germs, because when you consider the mummies, those bodies which have been conserved through centuries up to nowadays, if they didn't rot and decompose, it's because they were the priest and so forth filled them in with plants which had antibiotic virtues. Mm-hmm. So that's one way. But all through history, when there were epidemics or people ill, they used to use these plants. And that's why it is well known that the plants which have antibiotic virtues are well known, have been well known, and have been used for a long time. But it's true that nowadays they are less used because at the beginning of the 20th century, well, maybe more in the middle, but in the beginning, someone discovered penicillin that was Ian Fleming, and that was in the 1929. And he discovered that that's an antibiotic, but not a plant. It comes from germs. And he discovered it, but it was not used. We had to wait 17 more years before it started to be used. And it was so efficient to kill germs, to cure people with infections, that it was used all over for everything, even when it was not really necessary. It was such a... everybody was so enthusiastic. And they discovered other kind of antibiotics, and they used them And the plants with antibiotics virtues have been put aside and not used so much. But now, the thing is that using antibiotics is a great help. We should be grateful that they exist. But when they are not used correctly, then they lose their efficiency. Not used correctly is when one uses them too often, when it's not necessary, not choosing the correct antibiotic, then the germs which are attacked by these antibiotics, they try to survive, and they can sometimes, and they build resistance, which means that the antibiotic is not efficient anymore, or not so much anymore, with the result that one has to increase the doses of the antibiotics, or give new ones, or discover new ones to be able to fight infections. And that's where natural antibiotics come in the show again, because they are very powerful, effective, and microbes cannot develop resistance against them. So that's the situation nowadays. And as there's a big enthusiasm for natural medicine, there's also a great enthusiasm to use plants with antibiotics virtues instead of conventional antibiotics.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, in your book, you talk about many things, but you have a wonderful chapter on germs, and you say that germs can be broken down into four basic categories: parasites, bacteria, fungi, and yeast, and viruses. Could you give us an overview of those? Because I was kind of surprised about, you know, the fungi and yeast being a germ. I figured it was something that happened to your body, but I didn't necessarily identify it as a germ. I think of germs as you touched a table where somebody else sat down.
Yeah.
They had a cough and they touched the table and you pick it up.
Yeah. Well, germs are very small beings, living beings, which are generally from the plant kingdom. Bacteria is one of them. It's a seaweed, in fact, but seaweed which is not in the sea. And fungi and yeast are also from the plant kingdom. And those which we are talking about now are not big fungi, but they are very small ones, very, very small, and they multiply in well over the place. In fact, germs are present everywhere. It's in the soil, in the food, in the water, in the air. There are many, many different kinds of germs. But many of them are not dangerous, but some of them are very dangerous for us. And because they like to live in our own body. And when they multiply, then they take over part of the body, they destroy cells, they intoxicate the body because the waste product can be poison. And that's the bad side of viruses. from germs.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is that there are germs everywhere and also in our body, but they are only dangerous for us if they are pathogenic germs.
Mm-hmm. So is there really such a thing as a good germ? It sounds like
yes,
an oxymoron. Okay, what's a good germ?
Yes, they are. And in the intestinal flora, the intestinal flora is made of billions of germs,
mm-hmm.
and most of them are very helpful to us because they help us digest. Our intestinal flora is made of germs, and they are beneficial germs.
Okay.
So just to be complete, parasites are in fact from the animal kingdom. Bacteria, fungi, and yeast are from the vegetal, the plant kingdom, and viruses is something very special. It's more mineral than plants. It's something in between, and but it's also considered as germs.
interesting because, you know, a few years ago, it's more, I think, under control right now. But, you know, HIV and AIDS, and that's definitely a virus. And you're saying that's from the mineral income. Could you explain that to me a little bit more?
Well, it's just that it's not a plant. It's something simpler than a plant or an animal. And it cannot multiply itself on its own. The virus comes into a body, like the human body, and it enters a cell, a body cell, and it uses the reproduction system of the cell to multiply itself. It's very strange, but it's very dangerous also. Viruses are very active, so we've got to take them in consideration. But the good news is that, well, the bad news is that doctors do not have many antivirals. It's something very difficult to produce, but the natural kingdom, natural antibiotics, also many of them are also antivirals. So the situation is that many people nowadays have viral infections but cannot be cured by taking medicine because the doctor doesn't have them or not the correct one. But there are many possibilities which are offered in the with the natural antibiotics.
Okay. So, you know, this is November, beginning of November, and of course here in the United States, or at least in California anyway, where I live, all plastered over the TV besides the election is, it's flu season, you know, get your flu shot, get this, get that. What are your thoughts on the flu shot?
Well, antibiotics can fight against infections, but the body can also, we have an immune system that is a system, different organs in the body, which produces white cells, which can fight against all the different kinds of germs. And if someone has a good immune system, he can fight nearly every microbes that exists. But it has to be in a good shape, healthy and all. And if the immune system is healthy, it's because the internal environment, what we call in natural medicine the terrain, organic terrain, is healthy. Well, maybe we can go into it later on. But we have an immune system which can fight against infections. And this is something we have all experienced because we have all been once ill. We had an infection. We didn't take any antibiotics, and we cured ourselves alone. And this means that the flu shot is to give the body white cells which can fight against the viruses of flu. But the body can do it also without the shot. This shot has a few drawbacks, which is, but in the whole, I would say that if someone is healthy, in a good shape, takes care of his health, has a positive attitude towards life, he will probably not need a shot because his body can fight against the flu. But if someone is very weak, ill, depressed, and so forth, well, maybe it's safer. Maybe it's safer.
Maybe. I don't believe in it. My husband automatically each year, you know, he goes and gets, he used to be at work, and now that he's retired, you know, he just marched over to our healthcare provider the other day and waited in a long line, like a half hour, and, you know, he got his shot. I'm like, well, good for you. And they're like, well, aren't you going to do it? I'm like, oh, no. Every time that I received the flu shot, I always got the flu. And it could be a mind over matter thing, I don't know, but when I've decided that I wasn't getting the flu shot and I wasn't getting the flu, guess what? Based on what you just said, I didn't get it. And my health is, you know, I'm an older lady, so, you know, up and down, but, you know, you can, I believe, manage some of this energy. Well, folks, we are speaking with Christopher Vazzi. He is the author of Natural Antibiotics and Antivirals, 18 Infection-Fighting Herbs and Essential Oils. You can check him out at his website, and that's ChristopherVazzi.com, and that is ChristopherVazzey.ch, not .com. I'm so used to saying .com, but it's ChristopherVazzey.ch. Christopher, you know, there was one thing that I read in your book, and it really shocked me. And that was, you were talking about the digestive tract and different, you know, diseases and everything that come from a compromised digestive tract. And the first thing that you talked about was abscess of a tooth. How is that connected to the digestive tract?
Well, it's just in anatomy, the mouth is part of the digestive tube, because when you think of it, digestion starts in the mouth, because when you chew the food, there is saliva which comes, and in this saliva there are digestive enzymes. The digestion starts in the mouth. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the stomach and all, but it's all this long tube which starts at the mouth, which is called the digestive tube. Mm-hmm. And there can be abscess next to the tooth, near a tooth, and that's why it's classified in the infection of the digestive tract.
Okay, well, that makes sense. Now, you also talk about three forms of infection. You said there's local, and then there's general, and then there's the combo of the two. Could you speak to that a bit for us, please?
Yeah. In infection, if someone hurts himself, someone is walking barefoot and he stumbles against something sharp, he will cut himself, and maybe a bit of soil will come in with microbes, and the microbes will develop, multiply, and an infection will take place. But the infection can be very local in the feet and not go further. Also, if we are stung by a bee or a mosquito, we can have a big spot, and it's a local infection. Mm-hmm. The body is fighting against it to keep it in that place. But there are other infections which are not local, which are general, because they are triggered by microbes which live in the blood or circulate in the blood. Well, they come from outside, but then they go in the blood. Mm-hmm. They develop, multiply, and then the blood flowing all over the body, the infection is also then in the whole of the body.
Okay. So if we hurt ourselves or injure ourselves at one level, like say our knee or the foot, if we can control it there, cure it there, then there's no chance that it can spread throughout the rest of the body?
Yeah, you know, there is chance that it will spread further, but when it doesn't, it's called a local infection, otherwise it's a general one, or a combination of both, a local, and then it becomes general. Or it can also be the germ comes in, it's located in a very precise place, mm-hmm. but there is an infection, but the germs are living beings which also excrete waste products, toxins, and some of these toxins can be very poisonous for us, and they circulate in the whole body and give us a general infection.
Okay. So when we have that general infection, is that when we go to the doctor and he gives us not necessarily antibiotics, but he gives us, I don't know, some type of pill to either ease the pain or take the swelling away or whatever?
Well, when there is swelling and there is pain, it's more an inflammation. Okay. And in inflammation, we can be inflamed without an infection. That's possible. But it's true that when someone has an infection, very often there is also an inflammation, because the microbes are enemies which are living in our cells or around the cells, and they are attacking the membrane of the cell, that is the wall of the cell, mm-hmm. and digging in it to go inside, and all that can trigger pain and inflammation.
Okay. Well, in your book, you talk about inflammation, and you say if you reduce the histamine, you can reduce the inflammation. So could we back up a second and talk about inflammation overall? Because so many people are affected by inflammation. And what can we do? Is there an herb or a tincture or something that we can utilize to help reduce the amount of inflammation in our bodies?
Yeah. Well, an inflammation is a reaction of the body to fight against an attack of something. It can be a poison, but it can also be a microbe. And it's a reaction triggered by the body, the immune system, and it's it fights against the microbes. And to bring white cells to fight against them, there's an accumulation of liquids in the region which is attacked. Mm-hmm. The blood accelerates its circulation and the region become red, and pain is felt and so forth. And that's an inflammation. It's a good thing that inflammation takes place because it means the body is fighting against the aggressor, the attacker. Now, the inflammation can be too strong, too painful, and therefore it is good to calm it down because it can be a bit too much for the person to bear. And there are different kind of plants which can be used. The simplest way to calm an inflammation is to put something cold on it. That is a cloth which has been put in cold water and or pieces of ice on the place. And that will calm down because an inflammation is something warm, and if you put cold, then it will take away warmth and then take away inflammation. Now, there are different plants which can be used against inflammation, and I wrote a whole book on it for people who are interested on it. They can be taken in form of madder tinctures or are there many different kinds of possibilities. Do you want names of plants?
Just a couple, because I want people to go out and get the book, because folks, this book is chocked full of information on what you can do to help yourself, and I actually took advantage of some of it recently when I was starting to get sick, and you know what? It worked, okay? So there's no question about it, but the trick is to pay attention to your body, and then as soon as you notice something changing, to take advantage. So regarding the inflammation, could you just name one herb that might work?
Yeah, sure. And I would say more than might work, which will work, and it's devil's claw. It's arbacophytum in Latin, arbacophytum. It's a root of a plant, and this is a very powerful anti-inflammatory remedy. It has been studied, and people have said, it's just as efficient as pharmaceutical anti-inflammatory remedies. Okay. But my favorite is black currant in the form of a tincture, and that is very good also, easy to take, good taste, and it's the buds of black currant, and it will stimulate our the glands which produce cortisone, and that is, our body will then produce cortisone, and as probably everybody knows, cortisone is an anti-inflammatory remedy. Right. Mm-hmm. And this works quickly, efficiently. Of course, the effect cannot be as high as when it is given in a pharmaceutical form, because the great quantities can be given. It's different. But it's a natural remedy, which is very efficient in general.
And it doesn't have the side effects of the pharmaceutical, right?
No, it doesn't have any side effects. That's the good thing with the herbs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so talk to us a bit about, I want to get into the mother tinctures in a moment, but talk to us about autoimmune disease. What is it and how can we combat it?
I didn't get the question, sorry.
Okay, autoimmune disease?
Autoimmune. The problem here is our immune system fights against anything which is attacking it. Usually it's something coming from the outside, poisons or germs. But we as human beings, depending on the way we eat and live and what we take, if we take drugs and a lot of medicine and so forth, we can accumulate a lot of toxins, that is waste products in our own tissues, in our flesh. Huh? And then the problem is that when there is too many of those toxins, the immune system will see that there are these toxins in the body, and you will think, ah, there's an attacker. And instead of just concentrating on the waste products, the toxins, he will consider that the tissues in which they are is the enemy. And therefore, he will start fighting against the tissues, the flesh of the person, and that's an autoimmune illness. So it's difficult to cure, because one cannot give really medicine to stop the immune system. That would be, that goes against the logic. But what we can do is to detox the organism, detox, that is, clean it of all the toxins, waste products, toxics, poison, and everything which are in the body, and that's what we call detoxifying. Huh? There are many different ways of detoxifying. Mm-hmm. The idea is to stimulate the excretory organs, which role is to filter these toxins out of the blood and to reject them, eliminate them outside the body. And there are five excretory organs. It's the liver, it's mm-hmm. the intestines, the kidney, and the skin, and the lungs. And by taking different kind of plants or herbs or with hydrotherapy, one can stimulate the work of these organs so that they eliminate many more toxins than they do usually, and that will clean the body, clean the terrain, and then the autoimmune illnesses can calm down and the person feel well again. It's the same process with, in fact, all the illnesses in that. That's the way we consider illnesses in natural medicine, an accumulation of toxin in the body. And the way to cure that, the basic way, is to eliminate all these toxins by detoxifying.
Okay. So if you feel yourself just picking up the common cold, should you automatically detox? And is there one area like the intestines or the lungs that we should concentrate?
It would be a good thing to usually what is done is to take a hot bath or a sauna, because when one sweats, one can eliminate quickly a lot of toxins. But mm-hmm. taking something for the liver would be good, because when you stimulate the liver, then the intestines also accelerate the elimination. But there are also plants which have antiviral effects. They fight against the virus of flu, of colds, and they are very effective. And one of them is Havintsara, and then T-S-A-R-A, Havintsara. It's a very powerful antiviral, and it's against flu, but also herpes or shingles. And it's also interesting, because when you take it in the form of essential oil, it's not aggressive at all for the skin or the digestive tube when you swallow the drops of it. Oh. So it's very useful and simple to use and effective.
Okay. Well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about these mother tinctures. In your book, you write about them and you give very explicit detail. So what is a mother tincture and how can we use it?
Well, a tincture in general is a preparation of plants which have been put into alcohol, and then the active substance of the plant move into the alcohol, and then the person takes a certain number of drops every day. A mother tincture is a bit different. It is a special preparation in which there is 1/10 of plant dry extract and 9/10 of alcohol, which mm-hmm. means that if someone buys a mother tincture today or in 50 years, the power of each drop is the same, which is not the case with tincture. But, the idea is the same, basically. So the person has to take a certain number of these drops, 3 or 4 or 5 times a day, because they contain the active substance that we want. Well, with antibiotics, as we're talking about the subject, some plants have antibiotics properties, virtues, and they can be taken in mother tincture.
Okay. So when in the book you talk about, let's just pick one. Let's talk about common barberry. What would that be used for?
That's a plant which is very powerful against fungi and yeast. In fact, it is used against people who have the candida yeast in them. In fact, candida is in the intestinal flora, but there are very few of them, and they are not dangerous because they represent only a very small population. But when someone takes antibiotics, it kills some a great part of the population of the intestine flora, and in the candida germs can then multiply, and when they do, they will colonize the intestinal tract, and that will lead to the different digestive disorders. And but then they can also go in other parts of the body, which makes a person very tired, or also skin problems, lung problems, and so forth. It's something which is more and more common because too many people take antibiotics when it's not necessary, and the candida can develop. And also candida develop well when they receive things like sugar, white sugar, or food with refined sugar that they like, and they strive on it, and they multiply, and it's... Well, the treatment in natural medicine is to stop feeding them with all those sugary foods, and to take things like common barberry in drops, three times a day, 30 drops, for example, to fight to kill those candida germs.
Okay. So I want to switch gears for a moment, because in the introduction I said that you're truly holistic. You treat the whole body, not just the whole system, not just the physical body. So when we are making decisions about what we want to fuel our body with, our food, is it important to be a vegetarian, or can you eat meat?
Well, in my opinion, one can eat meat, but it depends how much.
Okay.
When I was studying natural medicine, I stopped eating meat because at that time it was said meat is not good, you should not, it's full of toxins, stop it. And I stopped, many other people stopped also, and it's true, at the beginning one feels better, more healthy, it's a fact, but with time there is a lack of energy which settles in. And this lack of energy comes from the fact that our body and the body of our parents and our grandparents are used to function with proteins from meat. Mm-hmm. And when they do not receive, when our body does not receive meat anymore, something is missing and it cannot function as before. And that's something which many people can experience when they cut out the meat completely for a certain number of months. And the human body can adapt to many things. You can observe it. People can even smoke cigarettes. At the beginning, they are ill, but if you go on and try again, then it comes a time where they enjoy it. Apparently, I'm not sure. I'm not a smoker, but it's the same thing with everything. We can get used to something. We can get used to something, but when we are used, we cannot quit it so quickly. And the same with meat. Sometimes people stop too abruptly. It would be better that they keep a bit of meat. Well, the quantity or the number of times in the week when they eat meat depends on the person, but it should be, it can be every 2 days or 3 days or whatever.
Okay. Well, what about the person who, what about the quality of meat? Does it have to be, like if you're eating beef, does it have to be grass-fed, grass-finished, completely organic? I mean, there's so many choices that we have these days about the food that we ingest in our body. What do you feel is the optimum type of food that we should be fueling our bodies with?
Well, I think, and all people working in natural medicine think also, that we should eat food in the form in which nature gives it to us. So if we eat the cow, which is eating grass under the sun, under the rain, in a field, well, that's food as nature gives it to us. But if it's a cow which is fed with, other things, that's grass, which cannot go in the sun and so forth, then it's not a natural food.
Mm-hmm.
The man can alter the quality of food in two different ways, by adding different substances, and that's where all the food additive comes in. If we give, we put substance to color the food, to protect it, to make it more juicy, or this or that, or give medicine to the cows, or antibiotic, by the way, and then it is not natural. It should be organic. Organic is the way we should eat things. Organic and complete, not taking away some of the nutrients of the fruits.
Mm-hmm.
We should eat cereals, corn, for example, whole corn, not corn which has been treated and all the vitamins, enzymes, minerals have been taken away. That's not a natural food anymore.
Okay.
So white sugar, all the sweets and so forth, industrial food is not what we should eat.
Boy, it becomes more difficult to feed your system the way that it, you know, it's important to feed it. Now, two things I want to cover. The first one is blood radiation. What is it and how does it affect the body and our spirit?
Yeah, I wrote a book about the spiritual mysteries of the blood, and in it I explained that the blood is something liquid which circulates in the body. That's one thing, the material aspect of the blood. But the blood also radiates, it emits radiations which are not material, which are ethereal, much more refined than matter.
Mm-hmm.
And these radiations are important because they are a bridge, they form a bridge towards our spirit taken in the sense of soul. If we as a spirit, we are incarnated in a physical body, it's thanks to the blood and the blood radiation. And this blood radiation depends on the blood composition. And if someone eats organic food, he has a good blood composition, he will be well incarnated, efficient, happy. But if someone is nourished on white bread, pasta, sugar, sweet chocolates, pastries, ice cream, and so forth, well, he will not have a good blood composition, and he will not feel as well as he could. And that's where the question of the meat we just talked about also comes in. If someone, we have been used to eat meat, and our body is used to produce this blood radiation with meat, when we don't eat meat anymore, then there is something lacking and the blood radiation is not correct and our body is not so well incarnated in the body. And the person will feel not quite his 2 feet on the ground, not strong enough. He will very easily be stressed or depressed because there's this fire, it's a picture I'm giving, the fire in the blood is not there enough. And
mm-hmm.
he cannot feel good. And that explains why so many people change their moods when they change diets, because the blood composition and radiation changes.
You just led right into what I was going to ask you next, and that is the effect of our demeanor and our mood on our health.
Yes. Well, one has to consider, a materialist who thinks that only matter exists, thinks that we are only a physical body directed by a brain. But if we have a spiritual approach of life, we are an immaterial spirit incarnated in a physical body. And health is dependent, our physical health is dependent on different things which are in relation with the body, the way we eat, if we drug ourselves, smoke, and so forth, if we eat enough or too much, and so forth. But it's also in relation with our spirit. If we as a spirit, as a personality, we are we have upbuilding thoughts, we help up people around us, we are respectful, we respect nature, we try to harmonize with the logic of nature, then we have a good vibration, and this good vibration will affect the blood radiation, and the body will be well kept and healthy and strong. Mm-hmm. But of course, if someone has a personality which is always brooding, accusing people of all sorts of things and being aggressive, jealous, and so forth, it's someone who has a bad vibration, and that will also alter. The body cannot function well if someone is always depressed or criticizing people or violent. It's not possible, and he doesn't feel well because of that. So when one considers health problems to be holistic, one should consider respecting all the laws of health in the body, for the body, but also all the laws, spiritual laws for the spirits, being a good person, respectful and honest and so forth.
Okay. I want to talk now about essential oils as part of the title in your book, Natural Antibiotics and Antivirals, 18 Infection Fighting Herbs and Essential Oils. What are they? How can we use them? And how do we know if we have a true essential oil as opposed to something that somebody decided to manufacture and just put a label on it?
Yeah. Well, essential oils are oils which are extracted from the tissues of different plants. And it says it needs a lot of plant to extract a little quantity of essential oil. For example, we need 100 kilo of thyme to be able to receive 200 gram of essential oil. That's a glass of essential oil. So these essential oils are very concentrated and active and efficient. Now, some of them are soft, not non-aggressive oils. One can rub them on our skin. It will not do anything. Others are very aggressive, like thyme, oregano, savory, and so forth. And these should not be taken pure. They should be, if one swallows them, one should take a special substance which is called a dispersant. It will disperse the drop of essential oil and divide them in very, very small drops. Uh-huh. And this makes them less aggressive for the digestive tube or the skin if one wraps them on the skin. So they are very powerful, efficient. They are different plants, and they act in a different on different kind of microbes. But generally speaking, they have a broad action, broad spectrum of action. Mm-hmm. So even if you don't know if it's a virus or a bacteria which is at the base of our infection, you can take these plants. So I've already talked about Havintzara, which is good against viruses, mm-hmm. but something like Niauli, which is it's very powerful against all the different kinds of germs. Mm-hmm. And if someone has, for example, an infection in the lungs, he would take, for example, 3 drops of essential oil mixed with a dispersant in a bit of water 3 times or 4 or 5 times a day. Mm-hmm. As it's very powerful, the treatment do not last for very long. It's a week, 5 days a week. Usually it's sufficient. And because it's quite the body, well, essential oil is something which is the body has to accept them, and it's after a few days it can be a bit too much. But that's not a problem, because then the people can stop the essential oil and switch to mother tinctures, for example.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the mother tinctures basically back up the essential oils, if you will?
Yes, and they can be taken on long periods for months on end, which is not the case with essential oil. Essential oil is for a quick, short treatment. I mean, short, a week or so.
Okay, well, let me ask you this question, because this is something I do in my house, and it might not be a good thing. Especially during the winter months, I use a combination of eucalyptus and tea tree oil, and I put it in a diffuser, and I diffuse it throughout the house. And my purpose is to kind of cut down on, you know, the spreading of germs and all of that and stay as healthy as possible. So is that something I should rethink?
Yep. No, you should go on doing it. It's really good. The diffuser will throw the drops of essential oil through a special device which breaks the drops in very, very fine drops, which are so fine they can float in the air. Mm-hmm. And so when they meet the microbe is destroyed by these essential oils. And it's good because in the air there are many microbes. Well, in your home there might not be many. Maybe let's say 10 or 50, uh-huh. But if you go in a shopping center, you will have billions of microbes in the air, okay. And all sorts. And well, that's where they should diffuse essential oils, because it would kill all the germs where people catch them.
Okay. Well, you know, I also discovered, folks, and if you're worried about negative energy in your house, because I like to keep my house as clear as possible of, you know, like negative energy, the eucalyptus and the tea tree oil will also send all those little nasty spirits away. So it's kind of like a double duty, and that's what I love so much about Christopher's work is when you read his book, you'll find out, yes, how to help the body, but it also helps you help the mind, spirit, and your physical surroundings. So Christopher, I want to thank you greatly for that. Now, when we go to your website, christophervasey.ch, and that's christophervasey.ch, what are we going to find there?
You will find a presentation of all my books. There's a photo of the books, number of pages, the summary, what the content of the book. There's also a summary of the content. And then the articles which talk about different subjects of which are treated in the book. People can also find many articles which deal with all sorts of subjects. It can be health subject or spiritual subject. It's very varied. And also videos, and as you said before, a few books which can be downloaded free. So it's a whole a great source of information, all sorts of information to keep ourselves healthy and happy, and to get over the problems we have.
And you know, you give, I truly appreciate and I am grateful for you, because you've truly put out to the world various ways that we can help ourselves. And you know, this is a show about intuition. In fact, one of your articles is Intuition and Intellect. And folks, go to his site and read that, because it's going to be very eye-opening. But Christopher, you give people information. You give us the tools. You give us the power, the personal power, in order to take care of ourselves. And I do appreciate that. I have two of your books. There's a couple more that I saw that I'm going to get. And, you know, it's time, folks, to take, you know, control again, okay? No matter where you're at in this world, it's time to take control of your personal health, your personal space. Christopher, it's been great having you with us. What pearl of wisdom would you like to leave with our audience today?
Sorry, I didn't get that. What was
What bit of information would you like to leave with our audience today?
I would like to say that it's all in our hands. Our body is so well built that it functions all alone. We don't have to do much, just feed it correctly and breathe enough, have enough exercise. And if you think about the immune system, it's such a system to defend ourselves against infection. It's just it's a miracle. And in fact, it's not so complicated to be healthy and happy. One just has to follow the logical, the wisdom of nature, that is the laws of nature and the spiritual laws. And that's to make people aware of the existence of these laws on both levels that I write books and articles.
Okay, well, thank you. And folks, check out his website, Christopher christophervazzi.ch. Again, christophervazzi.ch. Go get the book, Natural Antibiotics and Antivirals, 18 Infection-Fighting Herbs and Essential Oils. It's time to go get it now before you get sick so that you can keep yourself clear of all of that yucky stuff that's out there. So, Christopher, thank you very much. And, audience, thank you very much for joining us today as we collectively get over it and get healthy. The Divine in Me honors the Divine in You. Folks, if you're looking to have a better life or to make your life a little bit better than what it is right now, give me a call for a consultation. They're offered at a 10% discount if you mention the podcast. That number is 888-240-6057. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself. And always remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of health. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.